Welcome to What Eulaw Looking At, the podcast that dives deep into the fine print of end-user license agreements eulas from the software and services you use every day. Have you ever clicked agree without a second thought? We've got you covered. Each episode unpacks the legalese and hidden clauses in eulas from tech giants like Apple, Google, Microsoft, and popular apps like Instagram and TikTok. Learn how these agreements impact your privacy, data rights, and even what you're allowed to say online. Join us as we break down the terms that often go unnoticed but could change the way you interact with your devices and services. Whether you're an everyday user or a privacy enthusiast, this show is your guide to understanding what you're really agreeing to with every click.
Welcome to What EULA Looking At. Today we're bringing you a deep dive into Facebook's content policies, what they really mean for you as a Facebook user.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go beyond those terms and conditions you probably skimmed through. And trust me, there are some surprising things buried in there that could directly impact your posts and even your account.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We all want to share our lives on Facebook, but how do these policies actually affect what we can and can't post?
Well, you're probably aware of the big ones. No hate speech, no violence, no illegal activities. But Facebook's policies go way beyond that, diving into some surprisingly specific areas.
Like what? Give us some examples of these unexpected rules.
Okay, let's start with something that might surprise you. You can't post about selling animals on Facebook, even your pet hamster.
Wait, seriously? I thought that was only for endangered species.
Nope, it applies to all animals. Facebook's reasoning is that online animal sales can open the door to a lot of potential issues, from the spread of diseases to the exploitation of animals. They're trying to get ahead of those risks.
So it's not just about legality. It's about Facebook's own interpretation of potential harm. It's an interesting angle.
It is. And it highlights how these policies really shake the boundaries of what's acceptable on the platform, even if it's something you might do perfectly legally offline.
So what about things like gambling? I know a lot of people who like to share their excitement about winning a bet, even if just a friendly wager.
That's actually another tricky area. Facebook restricts content related to gambling. Even seemingly harmless posts about winning bets, they're aiming to discourage gambling addiction and prevent the platform from being used for illegal gambling activity.
Oh, so no bragging about your fantasy football wins on Facebook then.
Probably best to keep those celebrations to yourself or share them offline. It's a good example of how even casual posts can run afoul of these policies if you're not careful.
So we've got animals and gambling. What else should users be aware of when it comes to these unexpected rules?
Well, this one might hit closer to home. Sharing personal information. You probably know not to share your social security number, but did you know posting someone's address even partially can be a violation?
Really? Even just the street name and city. I've definitely seen people do that before.
Yes, even that can be a problem. Facebook takes protecting individuals from real-world harm very seriously. Sharing someone's address online, even partially, can put them at risk, especially in situations involving stalking harassment or even identity theft.
That's a good reminder that what we post online can have consequences beyond the digital world. It's easy to forget that sometimes.
Absolutely. And it's not just addresses. Sharing other sensitive information like someone's medical history or financial details can also be a violation, even if you think you're doing it with good intentions.
Okay, so we're seeing a pattern here. Facebook is really trying to preempt any potential harm that could arise from sharing information on their platform.
Exactly. They're taking a proactive approach to protecting their users, which means they're casting a wide net with their policies. But that also means there's a lot of room for interpretation and potential gray areas.
Which leads us perfectly to another tricky area, violence and hate speech. Facebook takes a strong stance against this. But how do they handle those gray areas where it's not always clear-cut?
That's where context comes in. Facebook tries to distinguish between casual venting and credible threats. They look at things like your past behavior, the target of the comment, and the overall tone of the post. But of course, this raises concerns about censorship and who gets to decide what crosses the line.
Right. I've definitely made a sarcastic comment or two online. That could be taken the wrong way if someone was looking for a reason to be offended. What happens in those situations?
That's where it gets even more complex. Facebook relies on both algorithms and human moderators to make those judgment calls. So while they're trying to be objective, there's always the potential for human error or bias to slip in.
So even if you're trying to be funny or express a strong opinion, you could still end up violating their policies without even realizing it.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to understand these policies and be mindful of the potential impact of your words. Even when you're trying to be lighthearted or satirical, what might seem like a harmless joke to you could be perceived as a threat or hate speech by someone else. and that could lead to consequences for your account.
Okay, so we're seeing a theme here. Be careful what you post on Facebook, but how can users really stay informed about these constantly evolving policies? It seems like a lot to keep track of.
It is. Facebook does provide notifications about policy updates, but it's easy to miss them, my advice. Make it a habit to periodically check Facebook's Help Center or their official blog for the latest on content policies. That way you can avoid those unintentional violations that could get your content removed or even your account suspended.
That's great advice. So far, we've talked about some of the less obvious rules that users might not be aware of. But let's shift gears now and talk about the bigger picture. What are some of the broader risks that users face when it comes to Facebook's content policies?
One of the biggest risks is the potential for censorship. While Facebook aims to create a safe and respectful environment, their policies can also be used to silence dissenting voices or suppress certain viewpoints.
That's a serious concern. How can users protect themselves from that kind of censorship?
It's tough, but there are things you can do. First, be aware of your rights as a user. Understand what Facebook can and can't do when it comes to your content. Second, be mindful of the language you use. Avoid using inflammatory or offensive language that could be easily misinterpreted. And third, if you believe your content has been unfairly removed or restricted, don't be afraid to appeal the decision.
So it's about being informed, being strategic, and knowing when to stand up for your rights.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance. But it's important to be aware of the risks and take steps to protect yourself.
Okay, so we've covered censorship. What other risks should users be aware of?
Another significant risk is the potential for data privacy breaches. Facebook collects a vast amount of data about its users, and this data can be vulnerable to hacking or misuse.
That's a scary thought. What can users do to minimize that risk?
The most important thing is to be careful about what information you share on Facebook. Be selective about the personal details you reveal. And be wary of apps and websites that request access to your Facebook data. You can also adjust your privacy settings to limit who can see your information.
So it's about being mindful of your digital footprint and taking steps to protect your privacy.
Exactly. And remember, even if you're careful, there's always a risk when it comes to online data. It's a trade-off we all make when we use social media.
That's a good point. So we've talked about censorship and data privacy. Are there any other risks we should be aware of?
One final risk I'd like to highlight is the potential for addiction and mental health issues. Facebook is designed to be addictive, and spending too much time on the platform can have negative consequences for your mental well-being.
I think we can all relate to that. What can users do to avoid falling into that trap?
Set limits on your Facebook usage. Be mindful of how much time you're spending on the platform. And make a conscious effort to disconnect and engage in other activities.
So it's about finding a healthy balance between the digital world and the real world.
Exactly. And remember, Facebook is just a tool. It's up to us to use it responsibly and in a way that benefits our lives, not detracts from them.
Well said. So we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive into Facebook's content policies. We've explored some of the unexpected rules that users might not be aware of. And we've discussed the broader risks that users face, from censorship and data privacy to addiction and mental health issues.
It's important to remember that these policies and the implications are constantly evolving. So staying informed and engaged is crucial for navigating the ever-changing landscape of Facebook.
Great point. And on that note, we'll be back in the next part of our deep dive to explore even more aspects of these policies and how they can impact your experience as a Facebook user. Stay tuned.
See you soon. Welcome back to What EULA Looking At. We're continuing our deep dive into Facebook's content policies, focusing on what they mean for you as a user.
All right. So in the last part, we talked about some of those surprising rules around things like selling animals and sharing personal information. It really highlighted how Facebook's definition of harm can go beyond what's legally considered harmful.
Exactly. And that leads us to another area where Facebook takes a proactive approach. Dangerous organizations and individuals.
Okay, so we're talking about terrorist groups, hate organizations, that kind of thing.
That's right. Facebook has a zero tolerance policy for any content that promotes, supports, or represents these groups.
That makes sense, but how do they actually enforce that policy? It seems like a daunting task given the sheer volume of content on the platform.
It is. They use a combination of human moderators and artificial intelligence to identify and remove content that violates this policy.
So it's not just about blocking specific accounts. They're also looking for any kind of content that could be promoting these dangerous ideologies.
Exactly. They're trying to prevent these groups from using the platform to recruit members, incite violence, or spread their message.
I could see how that would be a tricky balance. How do they differentiate between, say, a historical discussion about a group like the Nazi Party versus someone actually glorifying their ideology?
Context is key, as we've seen with other policies. Mm. They look at the intent behind the post, the language used, and the overall tone. It's not a perfect system, but they're constantly working to refine their methods.
So it's not just a one-and-done kind of thing. They're constantly adapting their approach as new threats emerge.
That's right. It's an ongoing battle, and technology plays a huge role. AI helps identify patterns and flag potentially harmful content. But it's still crucial to have human reviewers who can understand nuance and context.
It's like a digital detective story, sifting through all that data to determine what's a genuine threat versus something harmless.
You could say that, and it highlights the complexity of content moderation on a platform as massive as Facebook. There's no easy solution, and it requires constant vigilance and a multifaceted approach.
So what's the key takeaway for our listeners? When it comes to this issue of dangerous organizations and individuals on Facebook,
be aware that Facebook is actively working to combat these groups. But it's an ongoing challenge. If you come across content that you believe violates their policies, report it. And remember, you play a role in keeping the platform safe by being vigilant and responsible.
That's a good point. It's a shared responsibility, really.
Yeah.
We as users have a part to play, too.
Absolutely. And speaking of responsibility, let's move on to another area where Facebook is cracking down. Fraud, scams, and deceptive practices.
Ooh, yes. This is a big one. I've definitely seen my fair share of those too good-to-be-true offers and suspicious posts.
Facebook is constantly battling these issues. They have specific policies that prohibit content promoting scams related to things like loan fraud investment schemes and fake giveaways.
So if I see a post promising me a free iPad if I just share my bank details, I should definitely hit that report button.
Absolutely. Trust your instincts. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is. And Facebook takes these violations seriously. They don't want their platform used to exploit users.
But it seems like scammers are always finding new ways to trick people. How does Facebook stay ahead of the game?
They're constantly refining their algorithms to detect suspicious patterns and language. But user reports are also crucial. The more people report scams, the more data Facebook has to work with, and the better they can adapt their defenses.
So it's another example of that collaborative effort between Facebook and its users. We all have a part to play in keeping the platform clean.
Exactly. And that brings us to another area where Facebook's policies are focused on protecting users. Misleading health claims, particularly those related to weight loss or cosmetic procedures.
Oh, those ads that promise you'll lose 10 pounds in a week with some miracle pill or cream.
Exactly. Facebook wants to prevent users from being misled by false or exaggerated claims that could harm their health or well-being. It's not just about protecting wallets. It's about protecting people.
Right. It's easy to forget that online misinformation can have real-world consequences.
Absolutely. And speaking of real-world consequences, Facebook also has strict policies about what you can and can't buy and sell on the platform.
Okay, let's talk about that. I know some things are obvious no-nos, like drugs and weapons. But what else falls under their restricted goods and services?
The list is surprisingly long. It includes things like tobacco, alcohol, certain health and wellness products, historical artifacts, hazardous materials, and even body parts and fluids.
Wow, body parts and fluids. That took a dark turn.
It highlights the breadth of what Facebook is trying to control. They're aiming to prevent the platform from being used to facilitate the sale of anything illegal, harmful, or exploitative.
It makes you realize just how much potential there is for misuse when you have a platform as vast as Facebook.
It's a constant challenge. But by having these policies and actively enforcing them, Facebook is working to create a safer and more ethical online marketplace.
So in a way, they're setting the standards for how we conduct business in the digital world.
They are. And it's a reminder that the same ethical considerations we apply to the real world also apply to the online world.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about dangerous organizations, scams, restricted goods, and Facebook's efforts to protect users from misleading information. It's clear that they're trying to create a pretty tightly controlled environment.
They are, but it's not just about restrictions. They're also trying to protect users by setting clear boundaries around violence and incitement.
All right, let's talk about we already touched on hate speech earlier, but what about more direct threats of violence? How do they handle those?
Facebook has a zero-tolerance policy for any content that incites or facilitates violence, including threats to public or personal safety.
So no posting about wanting to punch someone in the face, even if you're just venting your frustration.
Definitely not. And it's not limited to physical violence. They also prohibit threats of psychological harm or intimidation.
Okay, so they're taking a pretty broad approach to defining violence. But how do they differentiate between a genuine threat and, say, someone just blowing off steam or using hyperbole?
They look at a variety of factors. The language uses the context of the post, the user's past behavior, and the potential for real-world harm, it's a judgment call. And they use a combination of algorithms and human moderators to make those decisions.
So it's back to that combination of technology and human oversight that we've been seeing throughout our deep dive.
Exactly. It's a complex process, and there's always the potential for errors. But Facebook is constantly striving to improve their methods.
So what's the most important thing for our listeners to remember when it comes to violence and incitement on Facebook?
Think before you post. Be aware that even seemingly harmless jokes or vents can be misconstrued and have unintended consequences. And if you see something that concerns you, don't hesitate to report it to Facebook.
Good advice. It's a reminder that our words carry weight, both online and offline. We need to be mindful of that.
Absolutely. And that mindfulness extends to another sensitive area, adult content.
Welcome back to What ELA Looking At. We're wrapping up our deep dive into Facebook's content policies and really getting into the nitty-gritty of what it all means for you.
That's right. We've talked about a lot of specific rules and potential risks, but now I want to zoom out and look at the broader impact of these policies. How do they shape the way we communicate and interact online?
That's a great question. We've touched on the censorship debate, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how these policies influence the boundaries of what we can say and see on Facebook.
Well, think about it this way. Facebook's content policies act as a filter, shaping the flow of information and ideas on the platform.
So they're not just reacting to harmful content, they're actively shaping the conversation.
Exactly. And that raises some important questions about power dynamics. Facebook is a private company, but it has become such a dominant force in online communication that its policies have a ripple effect on public discourse.
That's a powerful thought. It's almost like Facebook has become a digital town square, and their content policies are the rules of engagement.
That's a great analogy. And it highlights the responsibility that Facebook has to be fair and transparent in how it enforces those rules.
Right, because if those rules are applied unevenly, it could create an unfair advantage for certain voices or perspectives.
Exactly, and that's why it's so important for users to be aware of these policies and understand how they can impact their experience on the platform.
So it's not just about protecting ourselves from getting our accounts suspended. It's about understanding how these policies shape the broader digital landscape.
Absolutely. And it's about engaging in the conversation. If you see something that you think is unfair or inconsistent, speak up. Let Facebook know. Use your voice to advocate for a more open and equitable online experience.
That's a great call to action. We've talked a lot about the potential downsides of these policies, but are there any positive aspects that you think we should acknowledge?
Oh, absolutely. It's easy to get caught up in the criticisms, but it's important to remember that these policies exist for a reason. They're designed to protect users from harm, to prevent exploitation, and to create a more respectful and inclusive online environment.
I think we can all agree that those are worthy goals.
Right. And while there's always room for improvement and debate, we should acknowledge the progress that Facebook has made in content moderation. They've invested heavily in technology and human resources, and they're constantly working to adapt to the ever-changing landscape of online threats.
It's definitely a complex and challenging task, and I think it's fair to say they're doing their best to strike that balance between safety and freedom.
I agree, and ultimately I think it comes down to individual responsibility. We as users have a role to play in shaping the online world we want to see. We can be mindful of the content we share. We can report abuse when we see it. And we can use our voices to advocate for positive change.
That's a great point to end on. This has been a truly insightful and thought-provoking deep dive into Facebook's content policies. I feel like I've gained a much deeper understanding of the complexities involved and the impact these policies have on our lives as users.
It's been a pleasure unpacking these issues with you. I hope our listeners have found this deep dive informative and empowering.
Me too. And remember, folks, knowledge is power. The more you understand about how these platforms work, the better equipped you'll be to navigate them safely and responsibly.
That's right. Stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of What EULA Looking At. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Facebook's content policies.
It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget to check out our other PromptCast podcasts and leave a review. We appreciate your support.
We'll see you next time on What EULA Looking At.